Please, Philippians chapter 4, after a break of over a month now from our studies in Philippians, we come back to take up our studies this morning. I want to speak this morning on the subject of a word to worriers, a word to worriers. But let's read God's word first of all, Philippians chapter 4. And the verse 1. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll end there at verse number 7. We pray God will bless the reading of his word. Verse 6 and 7 is where we will center our thoughts upon for this morning. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Can we still our hearts, please, a word of prayer? Let's pray that God would speak to each and to every one today. You know, in the love of the Lord, pray the Lord will speak to you out of his word. If you don't know him today, it's our prayer that God would speak to you and challenge you today. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee. We come to thy word. We thank thee, O God, today for the scriptures of truth. We thank thee, O God, for those who in days gone by gave their lives that we might have the scriptures in our own mother language. We thank thee, O God, today for the living word of the living God. O God, we pray today, make this word live in our hearts. We ask, O God, today that you'll speak very definitely. We pray, Lord, that thy word will come, Lord, as that word that will soothe even the troubled soul today. Lord, it will come to strengthen, Lord, those hearts that are weak today. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray today that we might find thy words. May it be the joy, may it be the rejoicing of our heart, O God. We pray that thy word will be sweet, yea, sweeter than honey to our taste. So hear and answer prayer. Lord, give us that help that we need. Lord, as we stand, Lord, to preach this word, we need the help of God. Lord, as we hear the word, we need that help as well. So, Lord, for preacher and for hearer alike, Lord, empower us and do us with God the Holy Spirit. Come, O God, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. J. Arthur Rank was a leading English industrialist who made much of his money in film production. He was a Christian, and he loved nothing more than teaching his little Sunday school class in the church that he attended. Given his background in film, he would have often shown films to his class that would have taught them more about the things of God and about the ways of the Bible. But despite his great commercial and business skills, and despite his great love for God, he was a man that was given to much worry. He often would allow worry to grip him, overcome him, and overpower him. And oftentimes that worry would have brought him to his knees in total weakness. It affected his mental and his physical health so much so that the doctor said that he had developed an ulcer as a result of this worry. One day Arthur Rank decided that rather than worrying every day about everything, he would do all his worrying on one day only. So he nominated Wednesday. Wednesday was going to be the day when he would worry about everything. So what he would do is that when, during the week, something would come to him that would worry him, he would write it down, put it into a box, that he called his worry box, and then he would forget about it until the next Wednesday. And so when it came round to the following Wednesday, he would open the worry box and he would read those things that had worried him, that had troubled him throughout the week. And the interesting thing was that when he came to the following Wednesday, when it was time to open his worry box, he found that most of the things that he had worried about hadn't actually happened. He said that 99% of the things that he had worried about, that he had written down and put into his worry box, never actually materialized. And therefore, he says, there was no point in me worrying about them anyway. But we're all human. Worry is something that we are all given to. And if I'm honest today, I am one of the biggest culprits. I worry about just everything. What I've said, things I've done, maybe offense I've caused unintentionally, I worry about it. There's very little in this world I don't worry about. And when there's little to worry about, then I worry that there's little to worry about. So this is a word to me just as much to you. It's interesting when you look at the word worry itself. It comes from a word that can be traced back to an old German word which means to strangle or to grip you, to grab you by the throat. And that's often what worry does. It seems to get such a grip on us and strangles us, and it removes so much of the joy in our lives. As we take up our studies again in this book of Philippians, Paul brings a word in season to the church. He brings a word in season to the believers. And I believe he brings a word in season to the church of Jesus Christ today. As I talk with different people in the church, outside of the church, I sense that today, right now, there is a lot of worry and anxiety about the future. Recent changes that have come into our province have caused many of God's people to worry and to be anxious. And I understand that. But I believe that this is a divine word to us all today. This is a direct word to God's people today. Paul says in verse 6, be careful for nothing. The word careful there means to be over anxious, to be overly worried, to be overcome with matters. Now, let's remind ourselves of the context in which Paul is writing here. He's writing to God's people, encouraging them to pursue godliness. He's encouraging them to live holy lives. He's encouraging them to be more Christ-like. And it is to such people that he says, be anxious or be careful for nothing. If you're seeking to serve the Lord, seeking to live for the Lord, seeking to walk with the Lord, then he says, don't be overly worried or don't be overly anxious. You see, I say that today because if you're in a backslidden state today, and you're cold at heart and you're far from God, then there is something you should be worried about. And that is the state of your heart. If you're living far from God today, outside the will of God today, running after the world rather than after God, if you're backslidden today, then you need to worry. You need to be concerned that your heart is not right with God. And if you're not saved today, if you do not know God's salvation today, then you need to worry about the eternal destiny of your soul. You need to get right with God. You need to be saved. But to those who are walking with God and seeking as best they can by the help that God gives, the Lord says, be careful for nothing. Here is a word to worriers. And as I read these words and studied these words again, I have to say I think they're some of the most beautiful, beautiful words in Scripture. Some of the most comforting statements in this book, if not in the entire canon of God's Word. As we think of this word to worriers today, I want us to think first of all here of an attitude to be resisted. An attitude to be resisted. Paul says in verse number 6, be careful for nothing. Another word for that word careful means to be full of care, overcome with care. He says, don't be full of care, don't be over anxious. Here is the attitude to be resisted. In fact, it's a command. It's given in the imperative. It is something which is necessary and which is commanded by God. And to enforce that, it is written in the negative in order to enforce the positive. Be careful for nothing. Now, it's important that we qualify something here. Paul is not saying to the Christian, to the church, to be carefree, to be thoughtless, to be reckless, living with some sort of fatalistic approach that just whatever happens will happen. It was Doris Day who popularized the song, Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. And that's sometimes the attitude of many. Oh, just whatever happens, throw caution to the wind. And the idea that you can just live whatever way you please. We are encouraged to be careful about our walk. We're encouraged to walk circumspectly. We're encouraged to live godly lives, and we have seen that throughout our studies, particularly in the latter part of chapter 3 and into chapter 4. But as far as the issues of life are concerned, and those issues which confront us, Paul, as the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit, urges the child of God who is living godly, don't be overly anxious about what happens or what goes on around us. Yes, there must be a concern, but don't be overly anxious. Don't allow fear to grip you so much. As always, it's about getting the balance right. You know, when it comes to our lives, our families, our finances, our futures, we are given to worry. But what does God say? Turn back with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew in the chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, of course, the Lord is delivering his great Sermon on the Mount. And in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6, he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, or the body than raiment? Then he says, behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And then he says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? What's he saying? He's saying, you're worrying about the future. You're worrying about what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what will happen. Your worrying won't change anything. Verse 28, he says, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? ye of little faith. And then he says again, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. Here's the Lord himself. He's saying, don't worry. Don't be overly anxious about the future, about what might happen for the future or how you will provide in the future. He says, I've got it all planned. And you're worrying will not change it. What do we do whenever we're anxious about things? What are we doing whenever we become overly worried about the matters of life? Well, I would suggest to you that when we are careful or full of care, coming back to Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 6, we're denying God's provision. We're denying God's provision. When we worry, we look to ourselves to meet the need. We think that we have the ability to help ourselves to overcome what we face. And in so doing, we deny the fact that God will provide, that God will meet the need. God is today Jehovah Jireh. Just as he was Jehovah Jireh there in the mountain of Moriah, when the Lord provided the ram and met the need. So God is still Jehovah Jireh today. The Lord who sees is the Lord who provides. And the Lord sees what your need is today. The Lord knows what your need is today. And the Lord will provide for that need. That verse, the end of Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need. My God shall supply all your need. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And you see, whenever we are anxious and when we're overly worried and concerned about matters, we are in effect denying the fact that God will provide for our need. Whenever we see, we cannot see a way through. Whenever we've come across a circumstance in our life and we wonder, how is this all going to work out? Perhaps a change in our life. We cannot see how this is going to work out. God will provide. God makes a way when there seems to be no way. He says, I'll make a way in the wilderness. He said, I'll make rivers in the desert. Now, Joseph, just before he died, said to his brothers concerning their hatred of him and how they sold him into bondage in Egypt, as they thought, and they forsook him. He said to them, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good. And you see, those things that seem to be evil and seem to be against us, those situations that we face, those circumstances that we come across, and it seems that everything is against us, God is meaning it and working it all for our good. When we become overly anxious about things, we're denying God's provision. But something more, whenever we become overly anxious and careful, not only do we deny God's provision, but we also doubt God's providences. When we worry about events, overly anxious about things, we fail to see the providences of God in all of these issues. We miss the fact that God is truly sovereign, that God has allowed to happen to us what has happened. And actually, when you think about it, you become so over-anxious and worried and burdened, you're actually doubting the wisdom of God. You're questioning the plans of God. If we believe that God is sovereign, and we do believe that God is sovereign, we do believe that God is in absolute control and that nothing happens to you or to me that is outside the will of God or the plan of God for our lives, and we become concerned about those matters, then we are questioning God and His wisdom. When we become anxious and careful and overly worried about things, it's almost as if we're saying to the Lord, have you made a mistake here? Have you made me walk down a pathway that really it wasn't intended for me? Jacob, he said, all these things are against me. He failed to see the providences of God. How that God was working all things together for His good and for God's glory. John Flavel, one of the English Puritans, wrote a great book, The Mystery of Providence. Well titled. But he said in that book, settle this great truth in your heart, that no trouble befalls God's people but by God's permission. And He permits nothing out of which He will not ultimately bring good to His people. Settle this great truth in your heart, he said. No trouble. No trouble befalls God's people but by God's permission. And He permits nothing out of which He will not ultimately bring good to His people. All things. I know I've said this in the past, but I say it again, particularly in the context of what we're speaking on today. When you become worried and anxious and concerned, perhaps about the future, and perhaps right now, unknown to anybody else, you're facing into what is to you an uncertain and unknown future. There's change coming. And none of us like change. And that change can bring fear. But in such times, take yourself to Romans 8 and verse 28. And see there God's providence, God's promise. All things work together for good. All things working together. Whenever we become overly anxious and careful about things, then we deny God's provision. We doubt God's providence. But it also distracts God's people. Worry, over-anxiety has the result of causing some of the brightest and some of the best of God's saints to walk away from the work of God. Martha was a lady given over to much worry. And the Lord had to rebuke her. He had to say to her, you're careful or full of care, and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. In her worry, what did she miss out on? She missed out on sitting at the feet of Christ. In her worry and in her anxiety and her busyness, she missed out on the blessing that Mary had. And her worry caused her to be apart from the Savior. Don't allow worry, anxiety to miss out. And don't allow it to distract you in your service for God. Do you see why the Lord then says to His people through the Apostle Paul, be careful for nothing? Be careful for nothing. Don't allow yourself to become overburdened and broken with worry when God has planned everything. And as we live in the will and the plan of God, He will provide everything for us. There is an attitude here to be resistant. But we move on quickly, because not only is there to be an attitude to be resisted, but there is also now an approach that is required. Paul just doesn't say, don't worry, leave it there. No, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't be a worrier, but be a warrior. Be prayerful about everything rather than being careful about everything. You see, we can do better than worry. We can pray about everything. Oh, praying doesn't dismiss the worry or the care or the burden, but rather it eases it. Paul doesn't say to the Philippian believers, stop worrying, pull yourself together, move on, deal with it. No, he says, here's something you can do. Pray about it. You see, here is where real Christianity differs and diverges so much from psychology. And psychology will seek to press the worrier into a different frame of mind, whether it be by meditation or perhaps medication or whatever. It'll try to ease the burden of worry. So much of those things that we worry about are outside of our control. They are beyond us, and we seem ineffective or unable to make any difference. But here is something today that's inside our control, that is within our power, and that is the power of intercessory prayer. He takes the negative, be careful for nothing, and then applies the positive, prayerful about everything. That's the answer. It's radical, isn't it? It's very novel, very new. Not at all. Not at all. It's always been the divine way. Bringing your troubles to the Lord in prayer. You know, as I read the words of verse 6, I'm encouraged. Because what is Paul doing? He's reminding them, reminding the people of God. You need to pray about that. He's reminding the church at Philippi, your troubles, your concerns, you need to pray about it. Isn't it true that often we need to be reminded to pray? In our anxieties and in our worries, we leave off praying and we try some other way and it doesn't work. Rather than taking away the worry, it just adds to it. Paul reminds the people of God here about the great privilege of prayer. He reminds the people. He reminds the church of Christ that they have a privilege that the world knows nothing about, and that is by bringing everything to the Lord who is in control of everything. As we think of this approach, notice that it is comprehensive. Verse 6, be careful for nothing but in everything. Everything. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, underline that little word, everything, there in verse 6. You see, sometimes we have the thought that we just need to pray about the big things. We need to pray about the work of the church. We need to pray for the missionaries. We need to pray for the lost. We need to pray for the country. And all of those things are right and needful. And that forms an important part of prayer. But the child of God can pray about everything. No matter how small, no matter how insignificant it may seem to you, don't think that God isn't interested. if it affects you, it affects him because he is touched. Touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And those things that seem small in the grand scheme of things, and yet they burden us, the apostle says, bring it to the Lord in prayer. Maybe it's some issue in the workplace, in the office, in the old office politics is kicking in, and it's affecting you. It's troubling you. You can bring it to the Lord in prayer. Maybe in business, some issue with staff or customers. And do you not think the Lord's interested in that? Can you not bring it to the Lord in prayer? Of course you can. Maybe at school, college, or university. And the pressure piles on and the work just keeps on coming. And there's just something perhaps that you cannot get. You can pray about it. You can bring that to the Lord in prayer. Everything can be brought to him. Perhaps about the future, about the way ahead. Listen, there's nothing that is insignificant to God. Those things that trouble you, it may trouble nobody else. And perhaps if you were to tell somebody else about things that would trouble you, they would maybe laugh at you and think, well, what are you worried about that? But it worries you. There will be things that worry me, and you'll think if I were to tell you that, you'll think, what on earth is his head cut? Well, you mightn't be too far wrong. And there's things that maybe worry you, and I can't understand why they worry you, but they do worry you. But bring it to the Lord in prayer. What a privilege. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. God has an interest. God has a concern in all of his people. And maybe nobody else seems overly bothered about it. Bring it to your heavenly Father. What does Peter say? Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. The smallest of matters, bring it to the Lord in prayer. Does Jesus care? Oh yes, he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Little song says there have been times I've been out of his will, but I've never been out of his care. And that's why we can bring everything to the Lord in prayer. It's comprehensive. But notice as well, its components. There are three different parts to prayer here in verse 6. There is prayer itself, but in everything by prayer is the most common word that is used. It's a form of adoration. It's a form of worship. Prayer is a form of worship. It is. It speaks about approaching God in a way that is reverent, in a way that is respectful. It means about coming before him, acknowledging who he is, that he is God, that he is the sovereign God, that he is the all-powerful God, that he is the one who can step into my situation. There's prayer, but then there's also petitions and supplication. That speaks about the specific petitions, and the order is important. We must, in prayer, address God, adore God, before we can supplicate him. Make your requests made known unto God. The Lord invites you. The Lord entreats you. Make your petitions made known unto me. Listen, he knows all about them. Did we not read that in Matthew 6? Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But in prayer, he desires for us to bring them to him. Because what are we doing? Whenever you bring everything to God in prayer, the smallest, the most insignificant of matters, what are you doing? You are openly confessing your need of him. You are confessing that only he can deal with this situation that confronts you right now. It is confession of your dependence on the Lord. And whenever we don't pray, it says, I'm all right. And when we don't bring everything to the Lord in prayer, it's saying to the Lord, well, Lord, I'll let you deal with this and I'll deal with this and it'll all work out. No. We need to bring everything to the Lord in prayer. Because in so doing, it's our confessing our need, our dependence on him for everything. There's prayer. There's petitions. But then there's also praise as another part of this prayer, component of prayer, with thanksgiving. We must pray with that belief that in all things God is good. I often make reference to Psalm 73, and Asaph, who wrote that psalm, was an absolute tailspin of emotions. He was giving up in his Christian life. He couldn't understand why the ungodly were prospering, why the godly were living such terrible lives. But he starts off that psalm with this statement, truly God, or only God is good. We need to praise God. Praise him for his goodness. That is not to minimize anything, but it is to thank God for everything. Job, and you will know what Job had to endure. I don't think there has been anybody living since or before Job that has lost as much as he did. And yet through it all, he could still praise the Lord. He could say, I know my Redeemer liveth. And he came to the end of all his trouble. And he came to the end of all of his loss and was able to say things too wonderful for me which I knew not. He's praising God for his providence and his sovereignty, even when he lost everything. Those words that close out the book of Job, the Lord blessed the latter end of Job. Bless the latter end of Job more than the beginning. We have so much to praise him for. I know there's often many things that will come across the pathway of the child of God that cause trouble, anxiety. But we have so much to praise him for because we can bring all of those things to him in prayer. There is an attitude to be resisted. There is an approach that is required. But finally, as we close, I want you to see here that there is an assurance that is refreshing. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's the promise. Here's the assurance. As you bring everything to the Lord in prayer, God says, my peace will flood your soul. When you bring your worries and you bring your troubles and you bring your cares, those things that would disturb your mind, those things that would disturb your heart, you says waiting will bring peace to the troubled soul. Notice the greatness of this peace. God's peace passeth all understanding. Goes beyond all human reasoning, all human comprehension, because it eases every human worry. God's peace. And you know, folks, God doesn't always remove the trouble from us. He doesn't always calm the storm that's raging around us. But when we bring everything to Him in prayer, He calms His child in the midst of the storm. And as He said to the disciples in the midst of the sea, and it was tempestuous, "Peace, be still." That peace that passeth all understanding. There is no peace like God's peace. You ever brought your trouble to the Lord in prayer and those things that concern you, worry you? And before you got to prayer, you were full of care. Then as you unburdened your heart before the Lord, His peace flooded your soul. The greatness of this peace. But there's also the guarding of this peace shall keep your hearts and minds. Shall keep. It speaks of a garrison. It speaks of a guarding, a protecting. It's a military term used of a soldier on guard duty. And the soldier protects the city, and the peace of God protects it, guards the child of God. Because so often the mind and the heart will be under attack. Under attack by the circumstances. Under attack by the critics. But God's peace is like that moat, that river around our heart and mind that protects us and keeps us and guards us and soothes us. His peace shall keep our hearts and minds. God's peace is the antidote to worry. God's peace is the source of all calmness. We can know that peace. As we leave all of our burdens before the Lord, there's the greatness of this peace, the guarding of this peace, but notice the guarantor of this peace, through Christ Jesus. Folks, this is not man-made, manufactured peace. This is not some man coming to you or woman coming to you with the best of intentions and obviously with a care and interest in your situations at this time and saying to you, "Don't worry, it'll all be all right," and patting you on the shoulder, giving you a hug, and saying, "The Lord bless you." No, this is God's peace. This is not man's peace. The guarantor of this peace is through Christ. We know the peace of God, the calmness of God, because listen today, there is a God in heaven who is entirely in control. There is no confusion today in the mind of an almighty triune God. There is no concern today in our God who reigns forever over this earth. There is no concern. There is no consternation. And Paul says this peace can be ours. The peace of God can be ours through Christ Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. The Lord says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, can be ours today through Christ Jesus. We, as the child of God, we have a divine right to claim that. We have a wonderful privilege to claim that peace today. and an unspeakable experience as we know that peace. It's a word in season. It's a word to worriers. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. This is what comes. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Your trouble today, concern today, bring it to the Lord in prayer and let His peace flood your soul. He's in control. He's planning everything aright. And He wants you to know His peace.